So our scripture reading for today is from 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. If you're turning to it in your phone or in your Bible, I just want to let you know that I did a mashup of three different versions. So if you're like, what is he reading from? It doesn't exist, except for on my iPad here. So this is 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to him by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement to your faith goodness, a generous provision of moral excellence. Yeah, supplement your faith with goodness. Yeah, I have my own notes in here. This is where it's messing me up. And with goodness, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control. And self-control, patient endurance, and patient endurance, godliness, and godliness, mutual affection, and mutual affection, love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Christ. So do you think faith is really enough? Do you think faith is enough? I don't know if you saw anything on social media, all of our social media channels and in the app or whatever. Kind of just posed this question a couple days ago just to kind of get you thinking. Is faith really enough? And I think in order for us to start to answer that question, let's talk about what faith is. And there's two pretty clear scriptures that kind of unpacks kind of what faith is, like a great definition, and what faith does. So Hebrews 11:1 says this. I'm going to read it in three different translations so that we kind of get a whole picture of it. So the NIV, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In the ESV, it says this, "Now faith is assurance," not confidence, "assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen." Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And the NLT says it a little bit different. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So faith being confident in what we hope for, assurance in what we hope for. That faith, really, what we hope for, this eager expectation, is this new reality that we get because of having faith. And so faith is really the reality of what we hope for. It's an eager expectation. We can expect what faith gives us to happen. And it's the evidence of things that we can't see. I mean, kind of part of what faith is. You just can't see or touch or feel all of it, or everything that it contains. It's a conviction of things that aren't seen. I mean, you have to be convinced of it. And it's an assurance. It's not whimsy or whimsical. It's, this is going to happen. I just can't see it yet. So that's a pretty straightforward definition of what faith is. But what does faith do? Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's what the NIV says. The ESV says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. NLT says it once again a little bit differently. God saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for that. It is a gift from God. You see, if we weren't sure about what really is this gift of God, it's pointing back to faith. That faith is this gift. That we're saved by grace through faith. And even this faith that we have is a gift from God. So that ultimately we can't even claim that this faith that through which we are saved is fully ours. It's been given to us. It truly is a gift. That doesn't mean that we don't have any part in this as we're about ready to jump into. So I want to jump back to our main passage, and I'm going to read just the first part of it again, the first part that we're going to handle as we're jumping into this Faith Plus series. This is 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. So do you think faith is really enough? I mean, if we go kind of line by line, I mean, even what Peter is doing here is actually the first part. Listen to this. So by his divine power, by God's grace, mercy, love. I mean, this is his divine power. But by his divine power, God has given. Once again, given, gift language. It's just been given to us. We haven't had to earn it. We haven't had to work towards it. It's gift language, just like how we receive the gift of faith. And he has given us everything we need. Everything we need. And not necessarily everything assured for, but everything we need. It's like God has laid everything that we need on the table. And that we are to live a life, living a godly life. Everything we need to live a godly life. Living a life that resembles, represents, reflects, imitates, and is like Jesus. God has given us everything we need for that to happen. By his grace, by his mercy, by his love, by his divine power, he has given that to us. And we have received, once again, gift. We have received all of this by coming to know him. All of it by coming to know Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the God in human form that we can study, that we can read, that we can watch his life. We have the accounting of his life and his teachings. We see that how that stretched all the way even back through what we call the Old Testament. The same God that operated then is that came in the flesh. And so we can watch and we can come to know who Jesus is. And so we have received all of this by coming to know Jesus and not anything else. So here is a bit of a a bit of a filter for us. If we think we need a particular thing, habit, thought, belief, approach, perspective in order to live a godly life, and we cannot trace that particular thing back to Jesus, it's not a part of everything. It's not a part of the everything that we've already been given by God. Because the everything that we've been given by God is known by knowing Jesus. And so if we can't trace it back, or if we have to get really, really creative to kind of connect it back to Jesus, then maybe it's not needed. Because everything we need comes from knowing who Jesus is. And this is the Jesus who calls us to himself. He doesn't even expect us to kind of figure out where he is or figure out how to approach him. He's the one who calls us to himself. So it's Jesus' activity once again coming to us. And he does this by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Let's be honest. At one point in time, we were attracted or brought to or accepted Jesus because we're drawn to him. And honestly, as humans, we're not naturally drawn to like mediocre things. We're not drawn to things that just kind of miss the mark. We are drawn to glory and excellence. And that's how Jesus calls us. He calls us out of his glory and his excellence. And we responded to that. I think it's probably key to note that Peter here is talking to those who have already come to believe. This is instruction that he's given them. And he's saying that you were drawn to this. This is how he called you. This is how you responded. You responded to his glory and excellence. But it's that same glory and excellence that he has called us with, that he has drawn us to him with, that he has granted us his precious and very great promises. And promise and hope are intertwined. And hope is really the core of what faith is. That these promises give us hope, and hope is at the core of what it even means to have faith. And so once again, we are given these promises just like we are given this faith. And here's what I think is subtle. Maybe it's not subtle, but it caught me by surprise when I was digging into this even more, is that through them, through these great promises, we become partakers in the divine nature. Partakers in the divine nature. See, God knows humanity's history. I mean, God knows us better than we know ourselves, and yet he is offering something so that we can partake in his divine nature. I mean, can you imagine if we really stepped in and believed that, hey, if we follow through, if we really believe in and push forward and add to our faith as we're about ready to talk about, because God wants us to be partakers in the divine nature, and so that through them, you may also escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. So that through these promises, through this hope given, through this faith that is given, you can escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. And so that through these promises, we really have the chance to. It's not guaranteed. It's a may. We have the chance to. And so, Peter then goes into his next section of this passage and says, in view of all of this, in view of by God's divine power, he has given us everything we need for a godly life. In view of the fact that we have received all of this by coming to know him and that he has called us to himself, In light of the fact that he did that by his marvelous glory and excellence, and that he has granted us this precious and very great promise, so that through them we may be partakers in the divine nature, and that we would have the chance to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of that, make every effort to respond to God's promise. In view of all of this, all of this gift, all of this receiving, everything that has been given to us, now really our activity comes in. What we're called to comes in. In view of all this, so far there hasn't been any action required of us except to receive. And now we are being called to make every effort to respond to God's promise. So we have to respond to God's precious and very great promises. We have to respond to the faith that is given. That these granted promises, that through them we would have the opportunity to partake in the divine nature of God. You see, this seems like we're talking about faith, that Peter is digging into and really unpacking what faith is. The opportunity to partake in the divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And it's all gift. It's all gift. Because faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. This gift from God of faith. Like, it's no small deal. I mean, to have the opportunity to partake in the divine nature of God. That we've been given everything needed to live a godly life in believing through faith. Like, faith is no slouch. But supplement your faith with. Another version might say, add to your faith. And what's a supplement? When you think of the word supplement, what do you think of? Something you take? Like a vitamin? Something like that? So if we are to supplement our faith, not just simply add to it, because sometimes, I mean, you don't always have to, like, add bacon to your burger. Like, that's not required. I mean, the burger would be just fine if you didn't add bacon. So, like, add to can be a little bit, like, can be, like, a little bit give or take. But supplement means that there's a deficient. Like, if you think about, you have to take your supplements because your body is quite literally deficient of things. So that when we're talking about supplementing our faith, that means that there's deficiency in faith alone. And so is faith really enough? So I don't know if you know what today is besides Father's Day, but it's also Juneteenth. Who knows what Juneteenth is? Your hand, maybe? Or if you've heard of it? So Juneteenth is July 19th, so it just happens to fall on a Sunday this year. June 19th. We are in the month of June. Is June 19th, and it's not like, oh, it's on like the third like Sunday of every year. No, it's June 19th. And June 19th is the celebration of when the last slaves, after the Civil War, finally heard that they were free. Now, if you remember your history, the Emancipation Proclamation was made January 1st, 1863. They hadn't heard, these last slaves in Texas, hadn't heard that they had been made free until June 19th, 1863. And so when these final slaves heard, that they were free, it has been celebrated and proclaimed Freedom Day. Because at that point in time, technically, legally, slavery had ended. Because it wasn't just when somebody made a proclamation, it was when the news finally made it to those the proclamation was for. And so I want to ask you a question. Do you think faith was enough for those slaves when their slave owners passed by them in their carriages as they went to church? Do you think faith was enough for them? That God-fearing, God-loving slave owners passed by their slaves working in their field as they went to church? See, I'm not so sure faith is enough. Just simple belief. Now, it gains us access to a whole lot. It gains us access to the opportunity to partake in the divine nature of God. It gives us access that we won't be corrupted by the world and by human desires. But evidently, faith wasn't enough. It's something that we get to remember that on this day in which slavery was abolished. Honestly, in the span of human history, not that long ago in our country. And the fact that it took 2.5 years to reach the final plantation. I don't think faith was enough there. And you know what's dangerous? What's dangerous is a person of faith that in one hand is holding up and claiming the promises and partaking of the divine nature and thinking that is enough, all the while the world is corrupting them with human desire. What's dangerous is somebody claiming faith, but yet at the same time still fulfilling their human desires because, hey, that's how the world works, right? I think that's what James means when he says that faith without works is dead. Empty. It's hollow. And I think one of the most damaging things a person can do is wield a malnourished and unsupplemented faith. A faith lived out that is unsupplemented and hasn't made every effort is less likely to imitate Jesus, the Savior, and more likely to masquerade as Jesus, all the while being the abuser. This is why we're digging into this for the next 6 weeks. This is why, as we are on a journey as a church to live like Jesus and to live the life that he came and he showed us how to live, and that we are to make every effort to ensure that we are imitators and not imposters of Jesus. That's what this is really about. It's one of the reasons why we shifted Sunday mornings, that we'll welcome anyone who shows up, but we're going to dig into this really hard stuff. Because honestly, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, our lives, our families, and our neighborhoods depend on it. Because we don't have to look too far even. We don't even have to look back to 1865. We could probably look back to 1965. We could probably look back even not too long ago and see what a malnourished and unsupplemented faith. Then honestly, truly, our lives, our families, our neighborhood, they depend on it. They depend on that we will take every effort. Every effort to respond to these great promises God has given. And they depend on it for us to supplement our faith with. Let's pray. God, we want to confess this morning that maybe we haven't always made every effort that we can to respond to your great promises that you have given us. To the fact that by your divine power, you have given us everything we need to live a life that you are calling us to. And that you do so with your glory and your excellence, and you don't even ask us to figure it out. You call us to you. And then you showed us how to live, and we just need to get to know who you are. God, help us to be imitators of you and not imposters. Help us to study your life and be willing to make the hard decisions and to make every effort to respond to the fact that you want to invite us and give us the opportunity to partake in the divine nature and to escape the corruption of this world, to quite literally create a new reality through the faith that you give us. So God, help us. So God, teach us. And help us to be open to what you are stirring in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.